Mr. Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It's 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. If you want to have a chat with us today, we've got the time and the inclination, to be very honest with you. Great chat with Doris Burke. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how are
Rich.
You?
I'm great, man.
Jason Feller is holding this show up with his very broad shoulders because Mike Del Tufo is trying to be the Atlas to the Fox Sports empire.
Honestly, what is he doing?
Honestly, every Friday.
Well, what are we doing? Nothing.
See, the problem is, if we ever complain about it, it makes Jay feel like we're not happy that he's here.
No,
that's
I am
that's
happy.
How Jason feels about it. Right? I'll be honest with you. It.
No, I am happy that you're here. It's just Mike's excuses. It's Mike's excuses.
Yeah.
And then he won't tell us the truth.
I know.
Like how he's doing practice games with
Tom Brady. I'm sure. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
I'm great. You know, Tony Khan mentioned me on Twitter the other day, Rich,
hey.
And now I'm getting all these new followers, even though I don't use Twitter anymore, so nice. I might have to come back.
Okay, at 2Jiggy, everybody.
At 2Jiggy.
Don't follow me, though.
Follow Friday.
Keep the applause going for his usual Friday appearance, but he's not on Zoom. He's live and
what?
In person.
Hey.
Tom Pelissero.
Fellas, great to see you. My guys, great to see you, Rich.
Normally, when you're in the studio, you're in this chair, expertly hosting this program while I'm doing something else.
I was glad to see Seinfeld pointed out the height differential here. I thought this is the second time I've sat in this chair, and you really see it.
Well, I'm also, as you know, for ergonomic purposes and my lower back purposes, I have a.
I did notice that last time I was
here.
There's
that you,
one
that
under
you
the desk too.
Is one of the desks
to keep my thing.
It's a foot thing and there's a back thing.
Really?
So it does make me a little higher.
Oh, interesting.
I never go
but I'm not
there.
Denying that this isn't the setup. And I haven't touched it because Seinfeld made fun of it and then said, don't touch it.
That was the funny thing
but don't
about
change
it.
Criticized, but don't change.
Don't change. I know.
I'm going to tell you what's wrong, but don't do anything about it.
Well, at any rate, Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Media Group here, one of the insiders of the insiders, the new Total Access, if you will, is here on the Rich Eisen
That's
Show.
That's actually another advertising.
Is that what it is? Yeah, the new TA is revamped. And you are here in Los Angeles because you're here for a wedding? Is that right?
My buddy from college, the bass player in my college band, the last member probably of like the core friend group from college, getting married up in Pasadena tomorrow night.
Is that look at you on the guitar? Look at this photograph.
There's Andy Kondrat on the bass, so congrats to him getting married. I think this photo is from Great Scott, which was a fantastic rock club in the Alston Brighton area of Boston. It is now, and I'm not joking, a Taco Bell.
Did you shut it down?
No, it changed a couple
Great
of years ago.
Scott.
But you remember the line in Demolition Man, right? Isn't that it? That every restaurant is now Taco Bell?
Yep.
And now literally, this is now a Taco Bell.
So what is the name of this band?
It was Jade Monkey. Don't bother Googling. There's no clips. There's nothing on
man.
The internet. This
Jade
was
Monkey?
Slightly pre-internet days.
Ah,
yes.
On.
Well, not pre-internet days. I'm not that old. But
still, please put the photograph up one more time. My God. Do you still own the Puma hat that you are rocking?
I don't even think I owned that hat. It was college. Like, you just would find things in your dorm or your apartment, and you just start wearing them.
Is that like
a
leopard guitar strap?
And that was a leopard guitar strap.
And on what?
We were playing a Squire right there, too. That was probably a $189 guitar.
Speaking of Squire, so is this that thing you do type thing? Did you have at least one hit? Did we have a one hit?
We had a hit.
So then what was your one big, what was Jade Monkey's one big showstopper?
Jade Monkey.
We had a song called Underwear that Andy wrote.
Phenomenal.
I think it was Underwear tentatively because we were like, we should always change the name of the song, but then it just became Underwear.
So are we going to get a reunion showing of
It's a good question. I'm ready. He played
Underwear.
Guitar at, my wife Sarah's here too. He played guitar at our wedding. I have not been asked to play guitar at this wedding. So if Andy's watching, there's still time.
What's his name?
Andy.
Andy.
Kondrat.
Okay. What's his name?
Kondrat.
Kondrat.
With a K, yes.
So the future Mrs. Kondrat, has she potentially put the kibosh on an Underwear reunion
song? It's a great question. I'm not gonna turn the lens toward the bride. She's got a lot going on the day before the wedding.
Can't do it.
My ability to play guitar in the wedding is probably low on the priority list.
Okay.
But it should be there somewhere.
So now you mentioned Seinfeld. Now I'm going to mention Larry David here because he has sat in this chair before. Mm-hmm. We have had the conversation with him about destination weddings, which this is for you. Are you getting the Kondrats a gift?
Yes, of course.
What do you mean, yes, of course?
You're not supposed to?
You
well,
you
live here. It's not a destination for them.
Have the Kondrats put you up? Are you putting yourself up?
I'm putting myself
up. Did they fly you out here?
They did not.
They did not. Mm. So,
so you're saying this is the gift.
Oh, your yeah. presence oh, yeah. is your present.
Yes.
Who needs a gravy boat yeah. on top of it?
It's a great question. I mean, it's a check. We haven't
given
it to him yet.
Now I can already feel the disapproval
might be watching this
from Sarah.
And listening as you get rid of his wedding gift.
Well, I'm just, listen, I'm not getting rid of anything. I'm just telling you my yeah. mindset.
I mean, you could have not came. I mean,
like, my mindset is like, I'm getting you something on from the registry on top of everything? Like, that's...
Of
that's,
the group of my college that's friends top. That's coming, I think I have the shortest journey, because you got multiple East Coast-based people, or at least Chicago.
How about out of country?
I think somebody's in Boston.
Any out of country? Anybody coming from international?
Not of my group. It's a very small group of people I'm actually going to know at this wedding.
Okay.
Which is... Enough.
Well, listen, you're a classy individual, clearly.
Everybody knows you. You're on TV.
There's a term right there.
They're all going to know you.
That photograph of, okay, so no yeah. Jade Monkey reunion right. tour.
Jade Monkey, by the way.
Contrast wedding.
Fantasy team name, Jade Monkey, if you want to use it, people.
There we go. And we've got, the avatar, which is Tom Pelissero in a Puma hat.
Send you Tom's picture if you want to use it.
And a leopard guitar strap. Look at that.
Do you remember what song you were playing at this moment, Tom?
Absolutely not.
Probably something by Weezer would be my guess. This is a... The thing with Great Scott was they'd give you had to fill the entire night.
Yes.
So it was 4.5 hours.
Yes.
Ooh.
And you could choose to do, there were technically three sets. So you could choose to do one, two, or three, but you had to find the other bands.
Yeah.
We only knew like one other band. So we played for 3 hours at Great Scott, entertaining the crowd.
You're like the Springsteen at Great Scott.
You got a second pitcher of beer when you did that from the bar.
Look at you.
And you got whatever 5% of the door. Those were good times, man.
Tom Pelissero is here, everybody.
Well done.
Okay, very good.
And you became an insider instead.
That's it. I don't even know who you are anymore. Okay, so let's just jump into it of another organized team activity. What is going on with the reconfiguration of the off season, the non-playing season? You were kind enough to text me from the flight out
yeah,
here?
Yeah, your text back to me was dead on arrival.
That's what I thought. Our colleague Breer said that some of the folks in the front offices and the coaching staff.
I got some of those calls too.
Saying like he said, it went over like the Hindenburg is the way he said.
Listen, so. Anytime that you have change, especially something this significant to people's yeah. lives, right? It's yes. to the calendar. It's to the time of year where they get to see their family and do the activities and go on vacations. You're going to get pushback from certain people, yeah. the staff members as much as anyone.
Right.
I mean, coaches, if you're thinking about this intellectually, there's definitely a case to be made that you can teach better in a unbroken environment. And you're not spending the first couple weeks of training camp reinstalling things and reviewing them. You would just... constantly build.
Dennis Allen was on yesterday's show mm-hmm. and I asked him about, you know, reconfiguring and taking the OTA on-field work of the spring, removing it from the spring and making it jammed all into mid to late June, into July, into training camp. He said he was into the idea of removing the 5-week period right. from mid-June to late July, that there's nothing.
Think about this. There's no other sport where you train to get in peak physical condition and you're practicing, not in pads, but you're practicing. You've been to OTA mini camp practices. They are full speed, just not full contact. There's no other sport where you go ramp up, ramp up, ramp up. Okay, now everybody go on vacation for 5 weeks and then we're going to go right back into it. So you saw back in 2020 in the COVID year, you know, there was no preseason that year. There were no OTAs. There were great memos, as you remember at that time, about like you could spend this amount of money on gym equipment for your players. You could mail them like free weights or a Peloton bike or whatever. But it was only up to a certain amount, so it wasn't a cap violation. I mean, wild stuff. But they brought them back, and because there was no preseason, it was this much more extended ramp-up period. And mm-hmm. there definitely was feedback from players that they liked that. Not so much the no preseason games.
And that was probably born out of creating your own bubble, too, right? So you get them in,
right?
And they didn't have to leave the bubble.
From the hotel to the facility and come back. So then in the past few years here, they have extended the ramp up period. But we're talking about going from 2 days before pads to like 4 now. Where, as you know, back together weekend, that's always timed up to be the 5th day of camp because that's when you can put on pads. So the thinking is if the players want a safer offseason, minimize soft tissue injuries, the longer the ramp up, there's a correlation. They've talked to athletic trainers and doctors and everybody else. They believe there's a correlation here between limiting those types of injuries.
Yes.
Maybe even limiting some of the Achilles tears and other things if you just have a consistent ramp up period. So the NFLPA's proposal, which they're still working on, but they've been going out to the clubs. They always do facility visits. They send their liaisons to all the team facilities. They've been explaining it to players. The feedback has been mostly positive. I would anticipate within the next month or so, they're going to formally propose this. It's got to go through the executive committee and the board of representatives with the union before it even goes to the league. But I believe that will be proposed. It'll be sometime between the middle of June and the first week in July will be their proposed time that players come back. You'll still be able to do classroom work in the spring virtually. You know, you can go through all the installs.
So no April off?
No off-season strength and conditioning program. Again, all this is all outside of the scope of the collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
So the league would have to agree to whatever this is. And it's not as if they just go, okay, yeah, it looks good, and they approve it. There could be all kinds of twists and turns and horse trading on different types of things. But short version would be you have virtual classroom work, you know, your rookie class, you can probably get them in the building to meet everybody the weekend after still.
Right.
But you would have sometime in the summer, which is normally the time everyone's going away
exactly.
in the middle of June.
Which is the pushback.
For 5-6 weeks.
Right.
And it's going to be the pushback for some of the veteran players, too. The 4th of July is a big deal. So many people, it's family reunions, it's going back to your hometown, it's taking different types of vacations. That's going to be a point of contention. But the young players are going, you know, whatever, like we don't know it. We don't have kids. We're not on the school calendar.
Right, right.
You know, and they're used to having a different rhythm in college anyway. You also have to remember this. If and when we go to the 18-game schedule, and it's probably a when, you're probably adding a second bye. So now you've got a 20-week regular season instead of an 18-week regular season, which only recently replaced the 17-week regular season. If your regular season starts Labor Day weekend, if they move that up a week, to put the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, all of a sudden your off-season time, your time to get away, is shrinking anyway.
Right.
You're going out and you got to be back in the building in mid-April. So the thinking is, okay, instead of having it be, all right, you get a two-month break, then 2 months of work, then another 6 week break. Or what if we just have it be a solid 4 to 5 month break, and then you come back and you have this long ramp up period? So a lot of those OTA style things, the strength and conditioning, the, you know, routes on air, practice on the field, and then the OTA, the non-padded practices, those would encompass like those first 6 weeks. And then you would go around August 1st into a traditional training camp, which is kind of how it is right now.
Yeah, but aren't there front office folks, general managers, scouts, and staff saying, what 4 month break?
I had a GM tell me.
You got to be kidding me. I mean, you got the combine. The combine is 2 weeks after the draft, after the Super Bowl. The draft is going to stay put, right? Unless you would they screw with that
about
too?
This.
Would they mess with that?
If you're sitting there thinking, and you're the league, and you've done a remarkable job, even in our time covering the league, taking over more and more parts of the calendar. And you're going, okay, so the players aren't back till the middle of June. There's no OTAs, there's no mini camps. You can't lead, you know, every sports show with like visions of, you know, Drake May getting out there for his first OTA price. We're not getting that till June. Well, what if we move free agency back? Now, remember, Super Bowl goes to President's Day weekend the 18-game schedule.
Okay.
You don't want the combine a week after that.
Right.
Well, let's move the combine back to the first or second week of March. Then let's have free agency at the end of March. Then maybe we put the draft in the middle of May. That's the part where all of a sudden that break where you go, okay, I can at least get on board with April, May, June. There's less to do. I can get away then. If you start taking up more and more parts of the calendar, now you're really changing the entire dynamic of things. So, again, these are all far down the line types of things. But the 18-game season, I think the fact that Roger Goodell is acknowledging it publicly, the union is certainly, there's new leadership at the union. That's another driving part of this. Lloyd Howell comes from an international business background. He does deals. That's what he's always done. And so because he's coming in kind of and taking a de novo look at the whole CBA, it's like, hey, what's the deal with this? Like, why is this in here? Maybe we should address that. The gambling policy is a perfect example of that, where you remember you had that run of a half dozen players that got suspended. The guys who bet on football, it was a minimum 1 year. But the guys who bet on like an NBA game, but they were in the facility, it was still like 6 weeks. And the thinking was, why, like, I can walk out to my car and then it's fine, but because I'm sitting 50 yards this way, it's a violation and I'm missing 6 games. And so they knocked that down. And that was the league and the union working together. This is another situation where it's not like the players want to do this revised offseason in exchange for 18 games. It's not that. It's, hey, let's take a common sense approach to this. Does this really make sense? There's no other sports league that does it. The science doesn't say that this is the best way we could be training players. Why don't we take a look at that? And we'll see whether or not this actually moves forward. I wouldn't be surprised, though, at all, if next year we've got a different looking offseason.
And then, so utilizing changing that as a springboard to then reconfigure the combine, draft, free agency,
schedule
release.
I'm purely speculating
release.
On that.
No,
all I know is the league is not going to want to have the quiet,
of course
quiet
not.
4 months.
But you also have to address the human beings that are grinding it out.
Well, and that's
for right. the combine and the draft and how that has to be addressed as well. Like if you're talking about right. quality of life as well.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
no,
at some
right.
point you can't just there's a stone and there's some blood in it and you're going to have to figure that part out too. But it also makes sense that if there's going to be such a fallow period where you don't get the
fallow.
Yes, indeed. F-A-L-L-O-W.
Every now and then you got alert. One word I don't know.
There you go.
That was it.
We're a period where nothing's going on.
Got it.
An empty period. Where
it's a farming term, Rich. Left unsown for a period in order to restore its fertility as a part of a crop rotation or to avoid surplus production.
Correct. So you might not have heard that because you were too busy with Jade Monkey on your campus. But long story short, though, is figuring out how to fill that time. Because if they're not going to be, you know, rookies out there in their new uniforms. And for instance, you know, in the next segment, we're going to play a soundbite from Mike McCarthy about Micah Parsons not being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's news conferences. There's activity. There's something to talk about. There's headlines to have. So if you're not going to have any of that, you do need to reconfigure that portion of it. And maybe the impetus of that will be having an 18-game schedule. So my question for you is if we're just, you know, speculating. How old is your daughter right now?
They're 10 and 7.
10 and 7. Mm-hmm. So your oldest daughter will be how old when all of this happens?
I mean, the off-season part?
All of it?
Turns 11 next June.
Okay.
Dad might be at training camp. Sorry.
Heads up.
Just FYI. That just occurred to me. Every birthday ruined forever? Okay, great. Remember,
hey,
that.
My oldest son was born on August 5th, which is the number of times I've been in Canton for his birthdays. I've lost track.
Right.
I shared this information the other day. Well, we induced Taylor, our last child, our daughter, to avoid kickoff of the 2013 season. At any rate, long story short, is how what do you think? 5 years? 7 years? Will she be in college when there's, I'm talking about 18 game schedule.
The fact that it's being discussed now makes me believe it's going to happen before the end of the collective bargaining agreement, which is still 7 years out. Because the collective bargaining agreement as it stands now says they can't unilaterally go to an 18 game season. So this would have to be a deal. But again, because you have union leadership right now, there's a new union executive director. There's a new president. The executive committee has turned over as well, which kind of guide a lot of these decisions.
Right.
You have new eyeballs on the whole thing, and they're asking different questions than the previous people might have asked. And so, I mean, if I'm putting the over-under, again, and I hope if there is an over-under, I don't want to get in trouble
no
here.
No problem. She in college?
I'm not advising. No, no chance. It happens before then.
Huh.
I'd be surprised if by the end of this decade, we don't have an 18-game season. Everybody believes it's an inevitability that it's going to happen.
Mm.
So why delay the inevitable when the inevitable means more money for the generation of players that are playing right now? Health and safety, everybody, you know, defers to that and brings it up. But if there wasn't a tangible difference of 16 to 17 games that would stop them from that, 17 to 18 is probably not going to be a whole lot different. Yes, second bye week to build in rest, potentially reconfiguring the offseason and shortening certain things. Remember, too, when we're talking about this offseason adjustment, potentially, the June and July stuff is going to look a lot like OTAs now, where it's like 3-4 days a week. So you're going to have long weekends. I'm not saying that makes up for it. I had a GM say to me the other day, so if I got a vacation plan next June, from June 15 to June 25th, you were telling me I should cancel that vacation. My response was, well, do you need to be there? Like, first week of strength and conditioning, would you need to be there in April? What are you doing? It's like, well, not a whole lot. I'm normally preparing for the draft. Well, now you're not doing that. Maybe you don't need to be around.
Yeah,
the real people who will bear the brunt of it are going to be the support people. It's the strength and conditioning staff, the athletic trainers, the football ops people, because if there's players in the building, they all have to be around, and that's going to be part of the conversation as we move forward.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. What's more likely still to come, and the latest on what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys and being all in, and you know, another wide receiver signs a big contract. Well, we all know CeeDee Lamb's going to have to get his at some point. Tom Pelissero is here for a wedding, and we're not in the studio. We're all benefiting. We're all benefiting. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a sec.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Tom Pelissero said something as soon as we went to break about Mike Del Tufo, and you have the floor. What happened?
We realized when I was here last, yes, and I was promoting the show, I didn't follow Del Tufo on Instagram.
And then?
And so I followed him. He posts a lot.
Yes.
And
you know what he posts? He posts...
he's on a boat every day.
He posts selfies of him smiling, showing off the choppers.
That he paid for.
Either behind the wheel of a boat or his car.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. Or he's showing off his soundboard system in Fox. Yeah. Or something completely nonsensical. And we noticed he gets the same number of likes in the range of, like, what, 400 to 600?
Pretty much, yeah.
Maybe he's playing the hashtag game really well.
Around 450.
Every time.
Yeah. But with no comments.
There he is. He posted his friend in Jersey, I guess, sent him this photograph of Mike's vinyl collection that he bequeathed to his buddy Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 436 likes of this dude nobody knows to see vinyl records you can't tell.
Like in
boxes in a garage.
Yeah.
436 likes for that. Were you one of the likes for this? You weren't, right?
I don't think so. I liked something the other day. The first post I saw of his was an ad for an energy drink.
Oh, gosh.
And he had placed the can on, like, the hull of the boat.
Yeah.
And he placed it so far away that you can't even read the label on the can. And it was like, partner... They're sponsored.
No, hold on a second. Hoskins can pull it up.
Wait a minute.
He can find it.
Hold on, I'm not looking right now.
Wait a
hold
minute.
On
Are
a
you saying
hold
Mike has a business deal now for his Instagram account?
Yes, he does. I'm not going to say the name of the product because I happen to promote a competing energy drink.
What is happening?
Wait, so it was on the hull of the boat? Hold on a second.
If you can find it, it's a can. On just the side of
hold
the
on, we're about
I gotta,
to
I got to go through all these weird Caitlin Clark picks. First.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by in our Roku-only segment. We just discovered Tom Pelissero, new follower of Mike Del Tufo's Instagram account, says that he has a sponsorship deal with some energy drink. And these people paid money, apparently, for this sort of thing. And it was a terrible photograph that didn't really show off the product. And I kind of feel ridiculous here because we talked about your cover band for six minutes.
We're originals too, but yeah.
Okay, we talked about your original college cover band for six minutes. You're like one of the top information individuals in any sport, in any industry. And I feel like I'm flushing valuable minutes down the toilet here, but I cannot conceive that Mike Del Tufo has business deal.
I'm looking for the post. I don't know if maybe they made him take it down. I'm scrolling.
No, there it is. No, I found it. Yeah, I found
it.
It literally says
Hoskins. It's April 30th.
Paid partnership.
He's calling. He's got it. He just needs to dress it up properly for the. Wait a minute. Yeah, you can't see it.
That's it.
Hold on, I'm setting it to Hoskins. It says paid partnership, but the way the lighting is, you can't tell what it is.
I mean, it's...
It looks like he's promoting the boat.
448 likes. It's just, he's... What is going on in his life? He needs a 30 for... He needs a one for one. That's what he needs, not a 30 for 30.
Just a 1 minute. It's just okay. A 1 minute.
Just a very... It's a very Los Angeles. Yeah.
Just like, let's pump the brakes on whatever's going on back there for this Fakakta Instagram account. So let's talk about what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. And that's not just because people are interested in it because they're the Dallas Cowboys. This is a team with Super Bowl aspirations and a roster that can win the Super Bowl. There's just no question about it. They have a quarterback that can win the Super Bowl. They've got a pass rusher that can win the Super Bowl. They've got the weaponry with CeeDee Lamb. I don't know what's going on with the running back position. I don't know what the hell has been going on. What has been going on there? Are they capped out because they've put money in all of the players that they've drafted well enough to keep? I don't know why they didn't supplement their roster any better than they did, or with bold-faced names that were available.
Let's start with the fact that Dak's on the books cap-wise for like $60 million this year. They absolutely could reduce it by doing a new contract with
them. But why not?
They have taken an organizational philosophy, it certainly appears, to kick the can down the road on all decisions right now. Because they've been doing this for years.
Okay.
If you talk about, look at the number of free agents that left in this offseason, some of your core players, like their center, Tyler Biadasz, who goes to a division rival in Washington, follows Dan Quinn, that's the type of guy that a lot of teams would proactively do the deal a year before free agency, lock him up, he's been huge for Dak, he's a really good player, and he's going to get paid a boatload. Instead, they wait, and sure enough, somebody's willing to pay him a lot more. I mean, right now, I can't think of another situation in recent NFL history where a team goes into the regular season, forget CeeDee Lamb for a second, with their head coach and their quarterback both in contract years. Mm. And you can't tag Dak because it would technically be a third tag because they had to tag him a second time to buy themselves time for the paperwork on the extension a few years ago.
Right.
So you can't tag him the third time because it'd be like $80 million. So Dak is he's in the position Kirk Cousins was a year ago, where he's going to be a true unrestricted free agent. Mike McCarthy, you could end up winning the Super Bowl, and Mike would be available to go to any other team. And then you've got, obviously, CeeDee Lamb. You've got Micah Parsons. These are, again, deals. You've seen Miami be proactive doing Philadelphia getting ahead of the game.
But
Dallas's philosophy has been, we don't need to do something now, so we will wait. And it's burned them in a lot of different cases. I mean, they tagged Tony Pollard. He played on the tag last year. He didn't have the best year, but he was coming off a pretty severe injury, and then he walks in free agency. He lost a couple of your pass rushers. The left tackle, that was... It was probably time on that. They were willing to move on from that, but that's another important part of your team. Yeah, it's puzzling, I would say that. I've heard really good feedback on the rookie class, how good they think this group has a chance to be, and they're going to need them to be really good because they're all going to have to play.
Well, that's the whole idea of a team that has Super Bowl aspirations and had a terrific season last year, regular season last year, that... The reaction to being one and done in Green Bay is we're just going to freeze it. We're going to freeze it. We're going to go draft as well as we possibly can. And we're going to let everybody around here know that if you want to stay here, you have to win here this year. And I understand that that puts the lid on a boiling pot potentially, and that it can actually work and it can hit. But it's a very expensive way of doing business that can also backfire on the way somebody handles that pressure, or it can backfire on the way of, even in ultimate success, you put the trophy in the case, and obviously that's the whole idea. But now everyone's going to want even more, and other people are going to be on top of their contracts at other spots. I mean, you know CeeDee Lamb's going to have to get paid.
Right.
We know Micah Parsons is going to have to get paid. Mm-hmm. Dak is more of an ish situation, I guess, because the quarterback might be, in their estimation, the reason why they're not getting to the NFC Championship game. And if they're willing to reset and go back into the free agent market with somebody completely different, or reset and go into the draft and get somebody, that's a risky play as well. Or you go and you redo the deals for everybody in a timely fashion, so it's not going to be as expensive as it is to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then you now might be able to reconfigure your cap to go get Derrick Henry and take some of the pressure off your quarterback, or go out and get fill in the blank other defensive pass rusher.
Right.
You know, I'll just throw it out again. I mean, Danielle Hunter's in the state right now, just not for them.
Right.
I'm just throwing names who are available that you could then bring in. If you want to go all in 1 year, go for it. You had the team that did as well as it did in last year's regular season. I feel like I'm a broken record on this subject matter here.
Well, because nothing's happened. We have to keep having the same conversation because they still haven't done anything. They signed Eric Kendricks after he got cut by the Chargers. They brought back Zeke. They signed Royce Freeman. And then they had the draft. And that's the extent of the moves that they've made in this offseason. I would say this. I mean, this is not the first time Jerry has had a head coach in the final year of his deal. Jason Garrett did it, too. I think that, you know, you've got a head coach that was won 12 games last 3 years. Obviously, brutal in the playoff game. They just weren't ready to go. For one reason or another, it was a disaster from the start in that game against Green Bay. But Mike's a really good and highly accomplished coach who now has so much pressure on his shoulders, not just because of his contract situation, but because you're basically saying, hey, we didn't bring in anybody veteran-wise to help other than, again, Kendricks, who knows Mike Zimmer's defense. They made the defensive coordinator switch because Dan Quinn moves to Washington. They bring in Zim, who's very established. But everybody's on, you know, the last year of their contracts. And, oh, yeah, you're going to have to play all these young guys. That's a lot on people's shoulders all at the same time. You know, we'll see exactly how that hits. I don't get the sense that Mike McCarthy is, you know, upset about anything in terms of, you know, why aren't they just, you know, redoing the deal now? I'd say this is the situation that you're in. Let's go kick everybody's ass and then we'll all get paid.
Well, he sounded more irked, for the lack of a better phrase. I don't know how to interpret this. This is Micah Parsons not appearing at the voluntary activity. This Mike McCarthy on that subject matter on Thursday.
Well, I think anytime you have a chance to, you know, to be together, it's an opportunity to improve, whether it's in the mental realm, the physical realm, which is, you know, limited obviously this time of year, but, you know, in the emotional connection and so forth. So, but you know, it's a long year. Training camp is really the heightened, you know, focus for all that. But yeah, it's definitely an opportunity that's been missed.
First of all, I would want one of those cups here. That looks pretty sweet. You see that star cup? Wouldn't you want one of those cups on your table right there, TJ?
I'm surprised I don't have one yet.
I know. So the Rich Eisen Show mug will have to suffice. But in all seriousness, though, I don't know what to make of the not here in May situations here. You know,
remember
these are the questions that come if you don't sign somebody. When you know you're going to have to, you know?
Mike has never really been around, though, in the offseason.
Okay.
So, for Mike McCarthy,
at least not there. He's certainly going to Mavericks games. We saw that.
He is. He's around.
Yeah, I know.
We've seen him and Trey Diggs and everybody courtside.
Right.
No, he's in the area. He's training there. He does boxing. He does all kinds of other stuff.
I don't think he's letting himself go.
He comes and goes. He'll be there for minicamp.
Right.
When Mike McCarthy got to Green Bay, one of his big pushes was to get everybody in the program, including Brett Favre. Who this was when Brett would disappear to Hattiesburg for 6 months. We talk about, you know, the potential revised offseason. Brett was doing this a long time ago. He didn't show up for anything, and Mike got him by the second year to at least show up for some of the OTAs. And so they had 100% attendance a lot of years, and he talked Brett into it, even though these are voluntary, like, hey, it would really help out this really young team if you can come in and give us some days. And so anytime that somebody's not there, Mike's going to believe, yeah, this is a missed opportunity, but the drill is pretty well established with Micah Parsons. This is kind of how he goes about it. CD's not there. That is directly contract related. And so we'll see whether or not he shows up next week for the mandatory minicamp. But these are, I mean, this, the Cowboys always have a unique spotlight on them. That goes without saying. But this year in particular, because of the number of massive storylines,
yes,
every game is going to feel like this is some type of a tipping point, even though it's not fair to judge a team off one game.
Okay, can I get you for one more segment?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I have no idea if you guys got to run, if there's some sort of a
other than ripping
lunch
up that check. I don't have anything to do.
Okay, very good. Yeah, ripping up the check. We've got what's more likely coming up next segment. I do want to ask you about a couple other quarterback situations, if you will, in the NFL before I let you on with the rest of your day, sir.
Absolutely.
That's how we're rolling into hour number three before the actor Jacob Batalon will be here from Reginald the Vampire and also from all those great Spider-Man films. That's coming up. All right, so we have the Instagram post in question. So Mike Del Tufo posted this, and I didn't know it. Can you imagine if you did,
look
in fact,
like,
if you, it's a paid partnership. I mean, unbelievable. Like, could you imagine you've paid for this photograph and there's a glare on it? You can't see it. It's that far away.
It's turned to the side a little bit.
So so much blue. You're the energy drink, and you're like paying for a photograph on Mike Del Tufo's Instagram account. Number one, I'm going to call your business plan into question. Number two, it looks like Mike is showing off where his boat is more than the actual energy drink that's supposed to be shown off. Am I wrong?
Which again brings me to the brings me to my theory.
That's a lot of foreground.
Which is that this is actually an ad for like the harbor, the and the can is just incidental, and he like inserted that somehow. But he writes in the thing, he's been in on it from the beginning. What are you advertising here?
Personally,
it's
what
not
I
even
think,
a good photo of the boat.
It looks like it's showing off. Like, what is that? Where they keep the safety equipment?
That's his table. He's got like he has seats around that.
Okay, so that's
there's a table on the boat.
Yeah,
Jason's the only one here who's actually been on the boat.
This would hold on a second. This would actually be a great Instagram photo for somebody who's paying for a boat table to be shown off. Right. Like the boat table. Right. Like now, look, if you made the boat table and you've got a paid partnership with Del Tufo, that's a great photograph.
Yes.
Or the marina. That's a great photograph.
Look how big this table is next to this can.
It looks like he's about to throw that overboard.
Also, look at the number of likes.
447. Unbelievable.
He is consistent.
And God bless Steve Weissman. God bless you, Steve Weissman. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Fire the grill and fire up the party, folks. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill right now. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. And the grill is hot in 15 minutes. Its cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time, so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. How's it going to work? Tom Pelissero still here on the show. How's it going to work in Pittsburgh with the quarterback competition? What do you think?
They're putting everything that they have behind Russell Wilson. They want Russ to know, they want the locker room to know that this is the guy. We also know that if Russ plays like he did at times last year, and certainly like he did in 2022, that it's going to be really complicated for him to maintain that job for the entire season, because the Steelers play in a really tough division, might be the toughest it's been in a long time. They've got a good defense, but they've got, you know, some moving parts, you know, just organizationally there. They've obviously made changes at the wide receiver position. Their running backs look really good. It seems to be the type of situation with Arthur Smith being the offensive coordinator that is best suited for what Russ does, which is when he's been at his best, they've been able to run the football, they play really good defense, and then you get these long play actions, vertical passing game types of plays. Yes. It's not the rhythm passing game that Nathaniel Hackett or Sean Payton was trying to run with them. So if there's anywhere that Russell Wilson can succeed, it's in this offense. You can probably say the same thing for Justin Fields, because Justin Fields also, you know, Luke Getsy comes from Green Bay. He couldn't really run a rhythm and timing based offense because a lot of what Justin Fields does is off schedule, and it's creating with his legs. They're one of the top rushing teams in the league. They're also one of the worst passing teams in the league. And you can blame Getsy for that, or you can say he was playing to the strengths of his quarterback in Justin Fields. I think that in some capacity, we'll see Justin Fields out there this season.
You will. There'll be a Fields package?
I'm not going to say that he's going to be returning kicks, but I think that you will find a way.
That's absurd.
You'll have him. I don't think it's that absurd.
Well,
nobody
knows you're not putting your backup court, but nobody knows what that looks like, and nobody knows how you can take advantage of it.
Right.
Nobody knows how much
maybe
of a game changer it is.
Maybe he's back there as a decoy.
But, dude, you're going to put your backup quarterback out there in one of these situations where you still don't know how it's going to work.
He might be the best athlete on your team.
I get it. So, but, you know, I know how kickoffs might be viewed differently after 1 week, and it'll be less absurd of an idea. But for your backup, for putting your best athlete out there, but for your backup quarterback, Really?
Everybody's cooking up ideas, all the special teams coordinators, and they're excited about it because they can finally strategize again. The kickoff rules changed, I think, four times in the last 5 years.
Right.
So every year there's adjustments, but last year was just kick it through the end zone. Now you're drawing different stuff up. But the key for them was to figure out how do you reduce the space that leads to the injuries while simultaneously leaving enough space you can actually have strategy in the game. And they feel like they've walked that line. I don't think Justin Fields returning kicks is a crazy idea just because he's that good of an athlete. A lot of what he does, if you look at his highlights, they look like kick returns.
Oh,
it's him finding a crease and then just outrunning everybody here. Yeah, you run a risk of it, but would there be a package for him? I think that at this stage in Russell Wilson's career, him doing designed runs and things down by the goal line, probably not going to be a strength for him. You can do that with Justin Fields. There's no reason to think that they wouldn't try to use him.
It's a Friday. Let's do What's More Likely with Tom Pelissero here, shall we? Shall we do that?
Let's go.
And it is brought to you, presented by T. Rowe Price. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Chris Brockman, you've got two of us here.
Hey, maybe one of you will play the game right. Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Chris. You're gonna broadside me and ask for pleasantries? I'm sorry, just that's not likely. What do you have over there?
Yeah, I just want you to pick a side.
I got it.
Okay, got it. Well, who's more likely, the newly paid receiver, to have more yards and touchdowns this season? Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jaylen Waddle, A.J. Brown.
Oh, my gosh.
More yards and touchdowns. Waddle's most likely?
Here's the deal. Waddle's not, if Tyreek Hill is healthy, he's not the one. A.J. Brown is
just paying him even more.
I don't know. I'll go Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know where I feel about him. He's their number one. And I know A.J. Brown is too, but man, for somebody who had him in fantasy last year, like
AJ Brown,
yeah, weeks 8 through 14 were fallow.
Not great. Oh, a double fallow.
The word of the day is fallow.
Double fallow.
Brought to you by. What do you think?
I mean, you have Kellen Moore now as the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, and
right.
Kellen wants to throw it every play.
Everybody thought the same thing with Justin Herbert last year too. That didn't work out.
Well, there's a danger in throwing the football every play. There's a balance. You also have Saquon Barkley on that team. But okay. Kellen Moore's – I think that Saquon's presence will impact how defenses play the Eagles. That potentially creates better situations for A.J. Brown. So I'll say A.J. Brown.
Okay. Ooh, what do you got over there?
How about this one? QB searching for a payday to go further this season. Tua or Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, I'm going Tua, man.
Really?
I don't know why you don't like Tua. What's the matter with Tua? Why do you don't like Tua?
I don't think he's very good. Very good.
The most accurate quarterback in the league.
Like money.
I mean, statistically over time, he's got ridiculous amounts of speed everywhere around
him.
They drafted another running back.
Right.
I think that Tua probably you'd say is better set up for success.
Yes.
Also in part because the AFC South looks treacherous right now. We have kicked around the AFC South for a decade.
Yep.
You finally look at it. You look what Houston did last year, the additions that they made to their team.
Interesting.
Indianapolis with their quarterback, if Anthony Richardson can stay on the field. Tennessee's not going to be a doormat, I don't believe.
So you're going Tua there?
Tua has the better path, I believe.
Okay.
And that's not a shot at, you know, the Bills or your Rodgers Jets. It's more so, I think that division seems more wide open. The Jaguars, you know, they were 9-8 last year. They weren't a bad team, but they've got their work cut out.
So let me just jump in here real quick.
One guy has a playoff win, one doesn't.
You did not write these knowing Tom would be sitting here. So let me just flip this one real quick,
okay,
just to keep things moving. The quarterback on the screen, more likely to have a new deal that starts with a 5. Tua or Trevor.
Nobody's doing deals that don't start with 5s.
Really?
No quarterback on a second contract who is
not named Daniel Jones
why?
These types of guys, the deals that you see from now on, they're all going to be 50 plus.
Look at that. Look at him. He can't handle the truth.
Why? Teams are so dumb. They don't have to do this.
That's where the market is.
Who cares?
Joe Burrow's at 55. All the other deals, Jared Goff,
at least he's been to a Super Bowl.
Just got 52. All these deals, if you're talking about your franchise quarterback, and they've been playing at a high enough level. Now, Trevor Lawrence has been more up and down through time, so I think you can make a little bit more of a justification. He should be closer to the Daniel Jones level. But the cap has exploded. The cap is, you know,
there it is
increasing by so
pay
much here.
Other people. Pay other people.
You can pay everybody. You can pay. I shouldn't say you can pay everybody. You can pay the guys you want to pay.
He also just
the Dolphins are doing it.
He also doesn't like it either because you didn't choose one more likely. You gave both of an answer, but that's the reality
again,
of it. What else you got to
do? Play the game.
Let's try sneak some more
in
here.
Which division is more likely to have more playoff wins this year? Division playoff wins, AFC North, NFC North.
I'm going to go AFC North. I still think it's the toughest division in football, which means they'll be more battle tested, and I think they'll have the more likelihood of having the most playoff teams in it.
It's a really good question. I think the NFC North, top to bottom, is the most intriguing division in all of football because the Bears have completely made things over. The Lions were everybody's favorite last year, but now they have actual Super Bowl pressure on them.
Tom, I know you normally traffic in intrigue, but this is now sports NFC talk North. Radio, and you have to
NFC
give an answer.
North.
There you go.
All right,
quarterback to have the biggest second-year breakout.
If you just want a one-word answer, I'll give you the one-word answer.
That's not the one-word answer. You're like, this is intriguing. Yeah. He wants numbers.
Answers.
And he wants
NFC North.
I want the truth. All right, quarterback to have the biggest second-year breakout, Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young.
Oh, I'm going Anthony Richardson, man. I think they're more equipped.
He played two games last year.
I get it.
Breakout. Because it can't get worse than it was last year for Bryce Young.
Last year was just out or break. Last year was just a break or out.
And one guy was broken. Right. So
Anthony Richardson was out. Yeah. He got hurt three times.
No, he's talking about, I think, breakout season.
Let's have a good year.
We got a new star in the league. Yeah. He's clearly a star.
Well, Anthony Richardson, just based upon the physical characteristics, you would say. You know, he's the guy who could look like a superstar, but he's got to prove he can stay on the field.
But he also
I will say Bryce Young, just based upon you look at how the league felt about him coming out.
Yeah.
How well he processes, how smart he is and all that stuff. And last year, just that system, the people around him, it was just the worst fit possible. I think that he will play a lot better. And we'll be talking about, boy, he looks good. Okay. But Anthony Richardson, he can do some absolute freaky things. But he's got to progress. He's got to learn to be more consistent. And he's only going to be able to do that if he stays on the field.
Let's rip through these.
By the way, I was about to just finish this up, though, with a T-shirt worthy phrase. Tough to process from your ass. That's a problem. and I think the Colts have better weapons. So what else you got
over there? More likely to be the higher total this year, NBA Finals games or Patriots wins?
More NBA final games. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think this is going 6 or 7, okay. And I don't think the Patriots have 6 or 7. You agree? Okay.
I think that the Patriots realistically know that this is a reboot
this could be tough.
Type of year.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's more likely to have more wins this year? Last year's Hard Knocks team or this year's Hard Knocks team?
Last year's Hard Knocks team was
Jets were
the
7-10.
And the Bears are this year.
Every time, it's 7-10, but it felt much, much worse.
By the way, I buried the Jets season last year, clearly, for me not to ask that way.
Can the Bears go 8-9?
I think so. But can the Jets have more wins than they did last year? I think so. More than the Bears, yeah.
No, I just meant...
Oh, okay. All right, now I understand the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Jets.
Me too.
If the Jets aren't a 10-11 win team and in the playoffs, it's like a... I mean, Aaron Rodgers said we're all going to be out here.
They're more all in than the Cowboys. Because I think Jerry's going to wind up keeping everybody.
The Bears being an 8 or 9 win team, their expectations are going to be higher because of how they finished last year.
I think Jerry's going to keep everybody no matter what.
All right,
maybe
last
not
one.
The coach.
Last one. The London mayor said he wants a Super Bowl. What's more likely to host a Super Bowl first? London or another cold weather city?
Another cold weather city. Would Nashville be considered a cold weather city?
I don't think so.
I mean, I live in Minneapolis, and that was the worst example for, hey, we can pull off a cold weather Super Bowl when it's 20 below and a blizzard the day before the game and all the sponsor activations are canceled. I think that is a harder sell. London would be, if the Super Bowl goes to London, that to me is the precursor toward, hey, we're really going to put a team here or we're really going to build an international division, whatever it is.
That was What's More Likely presented by T. Rowe Price, where confidence comes from a curiosity to uncover opportunities others may miss. T. Rowe Price asks smart questions to better understand risks, develop insights, and give clients an investment edge. Better questions, better outcomes. Learn more at TRowePrice.com/curiosity. Thanks for coming, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For the whole hour. Tom Pelissero, everybody.
There should be more weddings
of your college friends in Los Angeles. May there be more of those so we can get you
Hopefully he doesn't have a second one.
Well, does he live in Los Angeles?
He does.
Talk about what's more likely. That's a new one. Sorry to say.
Patriots wins are years of his marriage.
Don't get the gravy, bro.
Patriots wins.
Still here on Roku. In the minute and a half, the team that most of the people that you speak to think have pushed all the right buttons over the last 2 months and have vastly improved their chances this year, if not have a chance at the Super Bowl, is which team?
I mean, the Bears.
Really?
I think that it's not to win, you know, be a Super Bowl team this year. It's more so, listen, they had to sell Caleb Williams and his camp on Chicago as the destination for his career. They had to make him believe, and
they did? He was going to really pull something?
Listen, you wanted the guy to be all on board. You don't want to have anything. Okay. And based upon, he's done everything differently. Him and his dad, Carl, who's a longtime business disruptor. He's worked with, you know, elite athlete training. They have a lot of ideas about, hey, we want to make sure. I mean, Caleb has said it himself. You know, his goal is to win 8 Super Bowls and beat Brady. This is not a guy just coming in as any other guy.
So it's not just for this year. People believe they've set up for the long term.
That was the sell point that they had to have. And so far, when you talk about the players that they brought in, trading for Keenan Allen and signing DeAndre Swift and drafting Roma Dunze, a lot of those things were, let's set up the infrastructure around Caleb Williams to have a lot of success. So when you talk to people, everyone says, you know, hey, whatever you think of, you know, Ryan Poles or the regime there, like, they did a lot of things to probably put Caleb in the best situation we've seen for a number one pick in quite some time. Now, the fact that they're not the normal number one pick team, because that was the Panthers' selection, the Bears weren't horrible last year. They finished, 6-2 down the stretch?
Yeah, that's about
it. He's walking into one of the best situations possible. And they've given him an opportunity here where it's not just, hey, let's go let him get the crap kicked out of him for a year and then make changes here. No, they've put themselves in a pretty good situation. At the same time, they've also put more pressure on him and this team than a lot of number one picks facing year
Thanks
one.
For coming, Tommy P. Tommy P, everybody.
Hey!
Thank you, guys.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.